Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.
And we are about to get in touch with a certain Paul Eastham, one of the co-founder members of a band called Coast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And for many of you, as I mentioned before, Paul Eastham is your hero. Are you there, Paul? Can you hear me?
I'm here and I can hear you very well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well indeed, Paul. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time out to talk to Lionheart Radio and the rest of the gang who are listening in tonight.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks very much for having me, yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. The first question I've got to ask, and it'll probably set the tone for the rest of the show. Do you know the new underpants you bought for the Tonda Festival?
Say again, mate.
Did you know the new underpants you bought for the Tonda Festival?
Oh, yeah.
The white ones?
Yeah.
Have you still got them?
I still have, yeah.
Have you washed them?
Probably best not me answering that question, to be honest with you.
I thought we could have put them up for auction or something and raised some money for some charity, but never mind. We'll try. We'll perhaps try that later.
You could put them up and, you know, maybe put them up for a new kind of pesticide or something.
I like it. Right, on with the questions, Paul, because obviously we've got people who have emailed in, they've called the show.
Great.
And they've got a few questions to ask you.
Yeah.
Primarily, we've got Matthias Koch, who's from Germany.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
And Matthias would like to know, when will Coast announce their tour dates of 2011 and also the dates in Germany? Because he's got to do the holiday planning at work.
I see, right, yeah. Well, it would be more towards December this year. So more towards the end of December, we'll start announcing some more dates. There's a few lined up in Germany already, so we'll confirm all those up. We'll put those up on the websites and, you know, and over our different sort of pages on Facebook and forums and what have you. So it'll be about the end of December. We'll confirm everything up for that.
That's fine. I hope that pleases Matthias. And we've also had a nice little comment in from Jutta.
And
Jutta says, only 5 weeks till we with the meet Paul actually in Southampton.
Great. Yeah, so, I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
That Southampton gig, is that one of the ones you're really looking forward to with being a local lad?
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be good because it'll be a double header for a lot of sort of Celtic music rocks because we've got Runrig the night before at the Guildhall. And then we're playing literally just opposite them the day after. So, you know, we are prepared for the Germans and the Danes to come over and show us how it's done, you know?
Yeah, so you're going to have an invasion from Scandinavia and Germany.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it as well. It's the first for us to play that venue as well. And we've got the fantastic Mr. Andrew Huggan from Scotland supporting as well. He's flying down to be with us for that date. So it's going to be a good one. It really is.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fans are really looking forward to that one.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Also, you're heading away up to Inverness as well.
We are, yeah. 3rd of December. We've got a gig there at the Ironworks. So, you know, anyone who can get to that, get down to it. It's going to be good because we've got Bruce and Jamie Watson, who are now Big Country, also supporting the band. So it's going to be one hell of a rocking night, you know. If we can get people there, then come along, bring your friends. And there's going to be an after-show party at Hootenanny's as well, just down the road. So it's going to be a big, you know, Inverness not going to know what it is.
Yeah. Have you ever actually been to the Ironworks before, Paul?
No. I've been outside it. I've walked past it. to go to our last gig that we went there, which was at Hootenanny's. It's only up the road.
Yeah.
But I've not actually been there before. Have you been there before?
I have myself, yes. I was there in 2006. It had just recently opened.
Oh, right.
And it was absolutely brilliant. It really is a good venue.
Yeah.
I think the sound system it'll be brilliant for you. I think you really will go well. But you're really taking, if you forgive we're using a phrase from up here, you're really taking the course to Newcastle by going up to Inverness.
Well, it should be good. So, but we're actually coming up to, it's more sort of Cockermouth, on the 19th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing up there for the Children in Need stage.
All right, yes.
Yeah, so that should be a good one. But we're looking at doing Newcastle as a proper show as part of our tour next year for our new album.
All right.
So that should be good.
Yeah, because you'll always got a good welcome, I think, in the northeast of England.
Oh, thank you. Well, that'd be really great, you know.
And if you get a chance to get down to the big market, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
The world famous big market. Have you heard about it?
I haven't, I'm afraid, no.
It's where the women never wear any basically jacket. They never seem to wear trousers. It's always short skirts, and the lads always go around in T-shirts. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night or month it is. That seems to be the uniform.
So I'm just writing this down. I'm coming up tomorrow. I'm only joking.
we've got a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, it says it's from Martin, a.k.a. Trousers.
Oh, yeah.
The Coast Wavemaster extraordinaire, apparently.
Yeah,
he is. He says, now that your manager, of course, is Runrig's mighty drummer, Ian Bain.
Yeah.
Could you possibly tell me what's Ian's best and worst habits?
His best and worst habits?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I suppose his worst habit is singing me lullabies before I go to sleep every night. And I suppose his best habit is attempting to play the drums, I guess.
Oh, that will hit a sore spot, I should imagine.
Oh dear, well I tell you, I didn't realise he had talent until he started writing lyrics.
So how's it going with Ian?
Really good, yeah, very, very well, thanks. He's broken us into Denmark and Germany, which is great. And he's so passionate about Coast, and he's doing everything he can to get us where we should be, you know, because he believes in the band and the music so much.
Yeah.
He really, really does. And it's, you know, apart from obviously Runrig, it's another full-time job for him, really.
Yeah, that was, when I heard about it, I was just wondering what was happening there. Is he splitting his time 50-50? Is he primarily more 70-30 towards Coast at the present time? Or?
Well, obviously his main job is being drummer for Runrig, you know, that always comes first for him, as it should do.
Yeah.
You know, but when he's not doing that, he's 100% working on Coast. I mean, as every Runrig fan will know, Runrig, they're taking a year out next year, so they've all got their side projects and things to do, and Ian's main, you know, concern is going to be Coast for that year. So it's, but yeah, he's loving it, and we love having him on board as well. You know, he's a good laugh. He's a real good laugh, but. You know, there's a real professional sort of sense there with him, and he's, you know, and obviously another hidden talent he had was writing lyrics, which is, you know, come about, which is why we've ended up writing songs as well together.
I think that was a question many Coast fans were asking, whether he would be like a co-writer of the songs.
Well, certainly, you know, there'll be more songs written by Ian and myself. You know, he's a very good lyricist, actually. He's very, very good. I mean, that's how this new single came about that we were sort of doing. He was, you know, just sort of sending me lyrics that he'd written, you know, and I was just sort of looking at him and going, oh, he's a really quite good.
Yeah, when you're talking about the track, obviously, The Beat of You,
yeah.
We've had a lady called Jodie Gale actually contact the studio, and Jodie just says, just to say that The Beat of You sounds awesome.
Oh, okay.
Also looking forward to the Inverness Ironworks. It's going to be great.
Great. Thank you very much. I think she's one of our photographers for that gig, actually.
Oh, excellent. Professional photographers as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, it should be a good one. I'm really looking forward to that, and... And I can't believe everyone's reaction to The Beat of You as well, because we played it on another station the other night, and people tuned in to listen to that, and, you know, the general feedback is that people were sort of blown away by it, which is great, you know, it's very humbling for me and the band, and also for Ian, because it's his first sort of song that he's written, you know, or with anyone else, or regardless of that has been sort of put out there, really.
Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got very, very strong Scottish roots. And, you know, are you frightened to get your hand in your pocket and get the drinks in? I'll tell you why. We've got somebody called David Shaw's contacted with. And he says you'll be seeing him tomorrow. And hopefully you're buying. Is that right?
Oh, right, OK. Oh, I didn't know anything about that. I know I'm seeing him tomorrow.
Well, apparently it's your round.
Well, the thing is, I'm not actually what you would call Scottish. Some of the members in the band are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have ties within Scotland and things like that. You know, I think on my mother's side, we've got Scottish, you know, Scottish bloodline. But apart from that, I'm predominantly English, you know. But so no, I'm not afraid of buying the odd pint here and there. I think Ian owes me a pint or two. But yeah, no. We'll be seeing David tomorrow. He's you're sort of part of the fan club network now, and we've got a meeting tomorrow to decide how we're going to go best forward with them putting out the new news about the album and stuff, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Speaking of your mother, Paul, obviously it was a sad time of your life. We've had a few people asking that a lot of your songs makes them emotional. Basically, they shed a tear to one or two of your songs, and a lot of them have their own favourites. Yeah. Is there any particular song that makes you emotional? You know, brings a tear to your eye sort of thing when you listen to it?
Probably, ineffectively, within the first album, there's quite a few, really. I mean, Big Blue Sky was written on a beach in the Outer Hebrides called Cooler Bay. And that was actually my mother's favourite beach, and that's where we plan to, spread her ashes, sort of thing. And that has a strong emotional tie with me. But I suppose in terms of, you know, dealing with loss, and you know how you deal with that at the time, I guess it's Keep Loving.
Yeah. It's because there's one or two people have actually asked that, you know, with writing songs, the songs that actually make you sort of really sit down and listen and bring a lump to you through it, and that's one of them.
Well, that, definitely, and I suppose overall now what I would sort of really consider as being one of the most emotional vocals I've ever sung is possibly The Beat of You.
Right.
The new one. You know, I mean, that was, recording that was, I don't know, it was quite difficult for some reason. It was quite hard, and hopefully I kind of put across some sort of emotion that people could connect to.
Yeah.
Well,
it's nice that you could do that. Because obviously your keyboards is an integral part of the band, and we've had a comment which I thought it was quite a good comment, actually. Erling Mortensen contacted me, and Erling said your keyboards playing is very reminiscent of Richard Clayderman, especially on CPR Eyes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I spent a lot of years when I was just a pianist, because I started off as a concert pianist first, and I used to play a lot of sort of hotels and restaurants and things like that, and Richard Clayderman was a big part of my repertoire, and I kind of got into playing that sort of style of music. And I know Richard Clayderman isn't everyone's favourite, but to be honest with you, as a pianist and a musician, he's very, very good. I think he's an outstanding pianist, and he's underrated because he only ever plays popular tunes, but he's actually a very, very good classical pianist. So I really respect him. I really do.
So who are your main influences at the present time then, Paul, in terms of musicians? Not necessarily keyboard players, but of any sort of musician.
Well, I mean, there's a few, really. I mean, I listen a lot at the moment to Springsteen. I'm a big Springsteen fan, and that's on the iPod quite a lot at the moment. And obviously, as always, you know, Runrig and, Callum and Rory, you know, as lyricists, are, you know, just fantastic. And even a lot of classical music as well. I listen to a lot of Rachmaninoff and Beethoven and, sort of romantic sort of artists, you know, classical artists like that, and a lot of Chopin. It's a whole spectrum, really, of different styles of music. I mean, I like quieter music and going up to more heavier music like, Nine Inch Nails and bands like, you know, Fear Factory and Korn and Swedish bands like Meshuggah. You know, I just find the musicianship very, very good.
You've got a wide and varied taste, I must admit.
Well, cheers. I mean, I love it all. I really, really do.
A proper musician that can accept anything.
Absolutely. You know, if it's good, it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
When you're concerned about your tour, are you going to be heading up to Skye next year?
Well, there's the talk of Barra, playing in Barra next year. We're waiting on confirmation for that. But as for Skye, we're not sure yet, but we'd like to. It's definitely something we're going to be talking about, to do some sort of, Western Isles kind of mini sort of tour. But the plan for the moment is York, Newcastle, Oban, Inverness, Barra, possibly Skye. and then we'll be straight over to Germany and Denmark after that, and hopefully some other places, perhaps Norway or something like that, you know. So we're just, at the moment, we're just collating all the dates that we've got that are possible and some that are confirmed, and we're just going to try and tie them all in by hopefully the end of the year.
Is there any more festivals lined up, Paul?
There is. I mean, there's one at the moment, which is Folk and Schlosshof in Germany, which is a place called Bonfield. That's a good one. But there's others that we can't talk about yet because they've not been completely confirmed.
Yeah.
And I'm worried if I do talk about them, they might say, well, now you're not playing.
Yeah, because, of course, the Tonda Festival apparently went down very, very well. We've got a lot of good reviews about that one for you.
Oh, yeah, what a fan. I mean, it was a great gig. We really enjoyed it, you know, and, you know, 2,500 people were there for that, and for us, that was a real dream come true. And we held them there throughout the entire show, and we felt so lucky to have been able to had our debut festival at the film festival. You know, and the Danish were just lovely. They treated us so well. And, of course, we'd love to come back, you know. So we'll just wait and see if we do.
Yeah, I'm sure it will do. Well, I'm sure the Scandinavians will make it, so.
Yeah.
What about your line-up changes in the band?
Well, yeah, there's been quite a lot happen. as a band kind of starts progressing, it's almost like a backhanded compliment, really. As the band starts becoming more, you know, have a wider appeal, then more commitment is needed. And, you know, as more commitment is needed, you kind of find out who is really committed and who's afraid to make the jump and who isn't, you know. And three of them didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we were sort of almost left in the lurch, really. I mean, 6 weeks before we were due to go out to Tuna, I didn't have a band.
Yeah, you know? That is disconcerting, isn't it?
Oh, it was really, it was heartbreaking. And I thought, well, what are we going to do here? So we just, you know, the three of us, myself, Chris, my brother, and Mark, the drummer, Mongo, the drummer, we just pulled together and just, you know, came up with a plan. And my other brother, Russ, who's actually quite an accomplished guitarist, very good guitarist, fortunately was able to rehearse with us for 6 weeks and play the gig. So he filled in for the one gig. And we had a new bass player who came on board at the time called Hamish Ferguson, and he was able to do it as well. So we basically patched a band together, you know, and if they thought that we were good that time round, then
we'll see the new
reaction this time.
Yeah, well, you seem to be from a very musical family. Is it good about your mother, your father, your grandparents? Or?
Both of them, really. I mean, my mother was very, very musical. And, me and my mother were very sort of similar in a lot of ways, and she was, you know, she played the guitar and she sung, and she was an ice skater as well, same as myself, you know. That was what I was before I was a musician, you know, I was a training figure skater.
Were you?
Oh, yeah, I was.
Ooh.
And so we shared a lot of the same things, and it became apparent that it wasn't so much the skating that was moving me, it was the music. It was the music that was making me feel, and I think about 1992, we were living in Germany, and I got to my first run rig gig in Cologne, and that was it, you know, the penny dropped.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, from that day on, I sort of realised I had to be a musician, but I never realised that run rig would have anything to do with my career.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, I never thought I'd end up going in that direction, because at first I was a classical pianist, which is what my mother wanted me to do. You know, we bought a cheap upright piano. In fact, no, I think we were given it. I think it was a freebie from somewhere.
Craig.
And, you know, I studied on that for the years on end and, you know, did a few concerts and, you know, was doing really well. But that was, you know, that was another direction. I gave that up and decided to write songs. But my father was also in a band as well. He was a bass player. And even the generation after that, you know, my grandma was a ballet dancer and a ballet teacher, and my granddad was a jazz drummer.
Yeah, so it's obviously in the genes.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the ice skating, have you still got the boots, the ice skating boots?
I have, yeah.
And can you still do a triple salgo?
I doubt it. I doubt it very much, you know. I'd have to get on there a few weeks and practiced me three turns for a bit first.
Oh, I didn't realise that about you, I must admit. I didn't realise that you were into the sporting side of it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's such a beautiful sport. And it's another one that's underrated in this country, really. You know, I mean, the people that do it are so... I mean, it's so clever. It's the hardest thing I ever did, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was very difficult, but I had to give that up, really, because my father was in the military, and we moved around from place to place, and, you know, I ended up training in Holland under... and Germany under teachers that I couldn't understand what they were saying, you know?
Yeah.
And I was very young, and it just had to go by the wayside, unfortunately. But maybe one day I'll get back on there and... get myself a wet backside again, you know?
Yeah, and give it a go. We've had an email in from a gentleman, I think you'll know him quite well, Alan McKenzie.
Alan McKenzie? Just think a minute.
Alan McKenzie. Maxter saying, tell Paul I'm looking forward to having a pint with him in Newcastle before the Sage gig.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to be coming up to stay with a mate of mine, and I'm going to meet up with Al for that one as well. We're going to go and see Runrig together, so it'd be nice to just sort of get away from my side of the music and just go and see a band, you know.
Well, I must admit, it's Alan that's predominantly been the driving force behind this, because Alan introduced me to your music, I must admit.
Yeah.
And he's been absolutely brilliant in promoting you. Fair play to Alan. I know he's listening tonight, and he'll be on the set either, chuffed a bit. Well done, Alan, mate.
Oh, big thank you, you know, for Alan. He's a lovely guy, and, you know...
Did he tell you that, Paul?
What, mate?
Did he tell you he was a lovely guy?
He did, actually, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Alan.
No, he was great, you know. We did a gig in Newcastle this year, you know, earlier on at the Arts Centre, and I met up with him for the first time there, and, you know, just a lovely, lovely guy, and I can't wait to share a beer or six with him. So.
Yeah. Oh, he'll enjoy that himself.
Yeah.
So, Paul, this new single.
Yeah.
What actually brought it on?
Well, I mean, I was just sort of walking down the road and, you know, sort of getting texts from Ian, as you do, coming up with ideas, you know, what we could do a gig here or we could do a gig there, you know. And he phoned me up and said, I've got these lyrics, you know, just tell me what you think. You know, because Ian was sort of, you know, sort of writing them down, and so I said, yeah, all right, yeah. So he texted them to me, and, you know, I sort of saved them, and he was, you know, phoning me and telling me them, just in little dribs and drabs, you know?
Yeah.
And I was actually saving them, and one day he said, do you remember any of them lyrics? I said, yeah, I've got them all written down. And he said, would you mind putting them into a song for me, just for him, you know, just for something personal? So I said, all right, yeah, no worries. So a couple of weeks later, I came back with a demo that I'd done, you know, and it didn't sound too dissimilar to the proper version, you know. In fact, a lot of the tracks from that demo were used on the proper version, like the piano and the whistles and all that, you know. And he was blown away by it, and as time sort of went on, I sort of realised it was good enough to have been kept on the New Coast album. And then ideas just kept flying around, you know, the weeks went by, and he mentioned perhaps he could get a fiddle player on it, and he mentioned Duncan Chisholm from Wolfstone. So I sort of said to him, I said, all right, yeah, go for it, you know, good luck. And he come back to me and he said, oh, Duncan's heard the track, he loves it. And next minute we're out in Denmark and he's playing it on stage with us. And I just thought, I can't believe I'm here. You know, and he did a fantastic job, and we came back and he recorded his fiddle parts up in Scotland and all that. And Ian come down and he drummed on the track. That's Ian drumming on the track as well.
Yeah.
So our drummer stepped aside for that one. He said, oh, he wrote the song, he can drum it, you know, which is a really noble thing to do.
It is indeed.
Yeah, for a drummer, because we know what they're like.
Yeah, they always get a bad call, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
The drummers, don't they?
But not these ones, not these two drummers. These ones are good.
Yeah, obviously we've been an original track. Is that something you want to do for the rest of your musical career, or is there any particular one track you would love to cover? You know, just a...
Well, I mean, yeah, I really, as far as a career, it would be all original music. You know, I'd like to be remembered for something that I've done. But as far as covering a great track, I suppose if there's one track that I could cover as a band... As a rock band, I suppose it would be Telegraph Road.
Right, yeah.
By Dire Straits.
Dire Straits, oh, it's a fantastic track, isn't it?
It's just got everything in it that I love about good music, really.
Uh-huh.
You know, and but that's one of a few, you know, there's loads out there, you know, but I'm sure I'll also go back to doing some sort of classical concerts as well, you know, at some point, because that's another side to my career that Ian's also trying to kick off.
Right.
As well, so, because he loves all the classical, because I've written a lot of classical stuff and orchestral stuff. It's almost like film music, you know, because I love musicians like Hans Zimmer and John Williams, you know, they do the film scores.
Yeah, could you see yourself?
I've got loads of stuff like that I've written and actually recorded.
Uh-huh.
Just tons and tons of it, and it's just sort of sat there collecting digital dust, you know?
So that's what you think you would like to go through, like, if you followed another course into, like, film scores and...
Well, sort of as a compliment, really, you know, as something else. You know, I mean, Coast is my main sort of, my main thing, really. But as a sideline, I'd love to do some film scores or even have some of the Coast stuff used in films, because the next album's going very... It's going quite, you know, in that sort of epic, big sound. It's going that way, you know. We've got sort of strings on it this time and lots of things like that, you know, and it's sort of really developing its own sound now, and I'm really, really pleased with the way it's going.
Well, that's brilliant, Paul. Well, we've been on air about 25 minutes, and we must thank you very much indeed. Is there anything you would like to add just before we have to wind things up, Paul?
Well, just like to thank everyone that's tuned in, and but everyone that's been following us as well and given us all the support, because, you know, it's not always easy to do this sort of thing, and but we do it for the love of it, you know, and I'd just like to thank everyone. And keep following the band and keep putting the word out there, you know, because the more people know about us, the more chance we've got of coming to your town and doing a show for you.
Paul Easton, thanks very much indeed. I hope we'll get to speak to you sometime soon. Perhaps after the tour, you can come back and have a little chat once again with us.
That'd be great. Thank you very much, Paul.
Paul Easton, of course, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Limehouse Radio.